So much, I have found that so. No one ever loved me like Jesus. If you have your Bible, if you would, please turn back to Isaiah chapter 55. We were in Isaiah 55 last week, and the Lord has placed some things on my heart that I'd like to bring to your attention. Hopefully we'll get some truth that'll help us in our journey. Singing has been good. Amen. And I've enjoyed the part that I got to be a part of, the congregational singing. I sing along with them, they just don't have me mic'd up. And there's a reason for that. But I do enjoy good singing that exalts the name of our Savior. Our Sunday school hour was good. It's good to be in a Sunday school where people are discussing God's Word and learning God's Word and opening God's Word. But you know, we're getting ready to do something that is, it's just different. You can't really explain preaching. You can experience it. You can even, you can participate in it. You can be the one that is doing it. You can be the one that is receiving it. But God has chosen the foolishness of preaching, and not foolish preaching now, but the foolishness of preaching to get His Word out, to convict hearts, to save souls. And I'm glad that God uses preaching. I'm glad that God uses preachers. I'm thankful for preachers and pastors and evangelists and missionaries. I'm very grateful for men that God calls to preach His Word. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for those that, their wives and their families that are a part of it. We need more Bible preaching, don't we? You have your Bible open, and I'm going to ask you, if you would, to give heed to the preaching of God's Word. It's a very serious thing. We have so minimalized the preaching of God's Word these days to where we will be staring out windows or answering text or who knows, maybe even playing games, passing notes. I don't mean you in particular. I just mean as a society, we've grown very cavalier about the preaching of God's Word. And I'm to be reminded, and I'm to remind you, that we're going to give an account for the blessings that God has given us and the opportunities that God has given us to sit under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And so I pray that it is with an open heart and a receptive heart, and if and when God speaks to us, that it would be with a responsive heart, that we would receive God's Word today. Because what I hold in my hand or have before me and what you hold in your hand or have sit in your lap, if it's the Word of God, then it's very serious and God has a message for you. I would ask that you not think of, who would benefit from this message, but that you would say, I will benefit from God's Word. It's so easy to turn our attention on others, isn't it? It just is. Boy, if so-and-so would have been here, how they could have used that message. Or if this were to happen, if that were to happen. But you know, if you have God's Word with you this morning, God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you, each one of us. And I know that He will. He's faithful that way. He is. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read the Word of God. You'll remember last week we looked in particular in verses 1 through 5 of Isaiah 55. And we talked about those that were in need that God is inviting. And I think it's very important that we recall that God now has given the invitation. He has said in verse number 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." And so he lays out and he identifies those in whom he calls, the thirsty. And then he said, you can't buy, you have no money, the broken. And then there's even those that are self-sufficient that he mentions in verse number 2. You're spending, you that do have money, you're spending it for that which is not bread. You're spending it searching for something that's not going to meet the need. And now he comes to verse number 6, and I'd like to read verses 6 through 9, and I'd like for you to follow. And so it's important that we understand now, the invitation has gone out. God has said, ho, that's a word of urgency. It's stop. Listen. Pay attention. God is calling. Not the preacher. Not another human. Not a religious system. Not a church. Not an organization. The God of heaven is calling. Come. How gracious is that? That God would call lowly sinners such as we. Come, come. And now he's saying, this is your response. I pray that it would be our response today. Look at verse number 6, and we'll read down through verse number 9. Seek ye, now that you have been called, answer. Seek the voice that has called you. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, and he will abundantly pardon him. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, help us. Now that as we have come to this time in the service where the Word of God has been open, the Word of God has been read in our hearing, help us now to give our full and undivided attention to what thus saith the Lord. Speak to me and through me. God, speak to my heart. Speak through me to the hearts of your people from the pages of your word through the ministry of your Holy Spirit. God, we all need to seek you for something this morning. I do not know what it may be. I just know that we are a needy people that way, in such a way that we always need you. And this morning is no different. God, I confess that I need you. And I pray that you would make it so that we would each one be aware of our need of you this morning. And I'm asking this, Lord, for our good, but for your glory. And I pray the name of Christ would be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. Now, I'm not going to go back, but I do want to point out something in verse number 3. I'm not going to re-preach last week, but in verse number 3, when Isaiah, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Now I will make an everlasting covenant with you." God is saying that he wants to make an everlasting covenant. Now, what covenant is this? The covenant is even the sure mercies of David. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's rehearsed in Psalm 89, even after David's departure. And, of course, it's speaking about the greater David, our Lord Jesus Christ. That everlasting covenant that God made through the Lord Jesus. And now he is putting out a call Come. Come. I can call to all of you now, to everyone that thirsteth, to everyone that has no money. It's not for sale. Money can't buy it. Amen. Works can't earn it. You come through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to God. And then you get down into verse number 6, and it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. He didn't just say, seek the Lord. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You know, there's an inference there that there's going to come a time when you may seek too late. I thought about when I was reading this about the days of Noah. Now, the Bible doesn't necessarily say that there were people that were seeking to get on the ark. The Bible doesn't say that at all. We know that Noah was a preacher of righteousness about 120 years. We know that God closed the door. God closed that door. You know that. And so the day of them seeking, the day of them getting in before it was too late was now over. One day the door of grace is going to close. I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know. The door of your opportunity is going to close. I don't know when that is. I don't know. I just know that the scripture says here, God has put out a call. And Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. In other words, take advantage of the opportunity that God has given you. And he said, call ye upon him while he is near. You say, well, isn't God everywhere? Yes, but if God is speaking to you, if God is present, and he is, and God is near, and he's speaking to your heart, and he's revealed your need, and you have heard his call, come, well, then you call. You call. Here am I, Lord. God, here am I. I hear your call, and I seek you. You know, as I began to read down through this, I couldn't get away from seek ye. What does it mean to seek the Lord? Well, I think we have the answer in verse number 6. What does it mean to seek the Lord? When God is saying, you need to seek me. Now, God has called unto us in this passage of Scripture. He's called, come. And now we're saying, if you've heard that call, or when you hear that call, your response should be to seek me. While I'm calling is actually what he's saying. You seek me while I may be found. You call upon me while I am near. If you hear my voice, don't just shut it out. Don't ignore it. Don't turn from it. Respond to it. Respond to it. What does it mean to seek the Lord? And are you seeking him? So few are seeking God. Most are seeking everyone his own way. But the Bible urges us here. Now, you seek ye. You seek the Lord. There's some urgency in that call. You seek. What does it mean to you to seek the Lord? You've sought him. How did you seek him? How do we seek the Lord? When God says, seek me, what is he saying? I want to give you just a couple of small or maybe the word I'm searching for, just a couple of elementary, simple ways that the Bible lays out plainly that we are to seek God. It doesn't take, listen, you don't have to know Bible vernacular. We don't need to know how to say it in certain words or how to do it. We just need, and what Isaiah does here is he just says, listen, let me just tell you what you need to do. You know, most people, when they seek the Lord, they begin to pray. So I want to give you three ways that I find in these verses that we are to seek the Lord, or throughout the scripture that we are to seek the Lord. Now, I'm not saying these are the only three ways, but I believe there are three fundamental ways that we're to seek God. And I think it'll help you. I hope that it does. You say, well, I already know. Well, okay. Then maybe it'll remind you. We need to be seeking God, brethren. Why? Because we're needy people. Amen. The call has come out to needy people. God laid it out in these first few verses of Isaiah 55. You have some needs. You're thirsty. Don't you feel the thirst? Isn't your heart panting after God as the heart after the water brooks? Aren't you hungering for the things of God? Aren't you hungering for the truths of God, the person of Christ? God has a lot to offer. He said in these first three verses, he said, you come to me, I'll give you water. Isn't water refreshing? You know, when I get thirsty, and I'm not saying it's the only beverage I like, though it has become the main beverage I drink as I get older, water is just so refreshing. When I get thirsty, I'm not looking for a glass of cold milk, though I do like a glass of cold milk. I need some pure, fresh, clean, cold water. And he said, if you'll come to me in verse number one, he said, I have some water for you. And then he also mentioned, and we talked about this, he said, you come and he said, you can buy wine and milk without money or without price. He said, I have something for you. We talked about the victory in the land of Canaan and the things that God gives and the refreshment that God gives when we will come to him. He's offering these things. God said, for those that are dry and barren, for those that have run across the dry places in life and the dry places in your journey, he's saying, come to me. I have water for you to drink. I have refreshment for you. Isn't God refreshing, brethren? Isn't God's word refreshing? Then he said, I have milk, not to refresh you, but to nourish you, to strengthen you. These are the things that milk does. It's nourishing. It's refreshing. It's strengthening. It offers strength for the journey. And then he said, I have wine, and that's exhilarating and celebrating, jubilation. Aren't you glad that God has these things to offer? And all of these picture the abundant Christian life. And Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He said, so come. And now he says, you want this? You want this? Then seek, right? Seek. What is it to seek? Notice what he said in the same verse. I want to give you three quick things about seeking, and then I'm going to give you three things about why we should seek. May give you four. Why should we seek God? But first of all, let's look at what is it to seek. Look what he said in verse number six. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And here it is. Call ye upon him while he is near. He's saying one way you seek is to call on him. Now, he didn't say pray, though I do believe within that word call is pray. And there are those that will say, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know that I prayed the right words. Or you know, we hear these things and people say, even the disciples came to Jesus at one point in his ministry and they said, Lord, teach us to pray, even also as John taught his disciples to pray. And sometimes folks say, well, I don't know how to pray. I'm not a very religious person, or I don't feel like I'm adequate in my communion with God, or I just don't know. I'm afraid I won't say the right thing. And you know, I think sometimes we just place too much of an emphasis on the words that are said. And I'm not saying to be cavalier and flippant about our approach to God, but if we're not too careful, we'll discourage people from praying. And God is encouraging us. And he's saying, listen, just call on me. Just call on me. Right? When you look at that word call, it means just cry out. Help me. That's the way you seek God. Old Peter was sinking one time after he had walked on the water for a spell. And as he began to sink, he said, Lord, save me. I believe that's calling on the Lord. Amen. I don't think Peter had a prescribed prayer, and he used all these things, the most omnipotent, the potentate of the universe, and he just said, Lord, save me. And that's what Isaiah is saying. Don't get concerned about how it sounds and the words you use. Just cry out to God, God, I need you. Brethren, I'm here to tell you, When you get into that place, God will do business with you. Amen. I've said it for years. God does business to those that mean business. And Isaiah said, business will pick up with God. Business will pick up in heaven for your sake when you call out upon the Lord. When you cry from your heart and you say, God, I'm broke. God, I don't have anything to offer. I'm crying out to you. God, do something for me. Seek him. Call. That's one way that we can seek. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Call him. Call out to him. Cry out to God. God, I need your help. Why wouldn't we do that? Well, I think we have some reasons here. I do. So one way to seek God is to call. Call unto the Lord. Call out to him. Seek him. God, I need you. God, have mercy. Notice what he said in the latter part of verse number 7. He said, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And it says, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. He's saying, listen, you don't have to feel ashamed. You don't have to feel that you can't or that God won't receive you. Go to him. We're going to see in just a few moments in the scripture where the Bible says that God delighteth in showing mercy. Did you know that? God just loves to show compassion and mercy on helpless human beings like us. Hey, man, God just loves it. Now, we're not too much in love with it. Sometimes we say, well, man, this is taxing. This is costing me something. But God never looks at it that way. God says, you know what? I'm here. I'm available. Just call. Seek me. I'm waiting to forgive. I'm waiting to extend mercy. I'm waiting to extend pardon. So one way is to call. Call. Second way is, well, to forsake. When you seek God, you're going to be moving away from some things and moving toward him. Notice what he said in verse number 7. To me, this is seeking God. He said, after he said, call ye upon him while he is near. You see that colon? In example, he is saying, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You can't be seeking God and sin at the same time. Amen. And so he said, you got to turn from some things. You got to forsake some things. Not just your ways, but look at it, your thoughts. Now that's in depth, brethren. That's in depth. God is thorough. We are not. But God is thorough. I think it was Christmas Evans, the evangelist of yesteryear, many years gone by, his prayer was heard, God, be thorough with me. That would be a good prayer if it could come from the heart. God, help me. Be thorough, not just in my actions, but my attitudes. Not just the outward man, but the inward man, right? Not just the sins of commission, but the sins of omission. God, be thorough with me. Maybe the reason that we're not receiving more is because our confession, our forsaking, our turning is not more. And so one of the ways that we are to seek is we're to call. We're to call. I want to encourage you this morning. Seek ye the Lord. Call. Call on him. You say, oh, preacher, I'm already saved. Now, wait a minute. I don't know that this is just dealing with lost people. After we get saved, we still need to cry out to the Lord. I'm not so sure we shouldn't do it regularly, that we should cry out unto the Lord. You know, I believe this. I can only testify for in my life and some things I've seen, but I'm going to use myself. And that is, when I'm calling out on the Lord, crying out unto him, it's good for me. because it helps me to realize my dependence upon Him. Usually, and I'm just going to say usually, when I'm not crying out to God, I'm depending on me and not Him. Can I ask you this morning, who are you depending on? Now really, who are you depending on? Not who you say or who you write on a piece of paper you're depending on, or who you tell others or who I tell others I'm depending on, but who are you depending on? And the scripture says here, let the wicked forsake his way. And, he said, let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Forsake your thoughts. And so, one way, well, it's to call. That's the positive way, right? Call out to the Lord. That's the positive way. Now, this is the negative side of the same coin of the positive. Call out unto Him. But don't just make it all about what you say. If your heart's really in it, you're going to be willing to turn from some things to get to God. Amen. When your heart's in it, brethren. Well, you can't, listen, look what it says in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. You're not going to find God in the pursuit of sin. Planning sin, right? You can't be planning sin and pursuing God. Don't listen to that lie of the flesh and the devil. When we're pursuing God, we're turning from sin. We're forsaking these things. Whether they be in actions or in attitude, whether they be what we do and how we live or how we think and what we say. Is that right, brethren? Sure it is. Sure it is. And so he said, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Turning from your way and your thoughts that are sinful against His way and His thoughts. And so one of the ways that we can seek the Lord is through calling. Are you calling on God regularly? Are you trusting in you? I tell you, our churches are full of self-righteous people. We just feel like we don't need to call on God. We're thinking about what other people need to do. If we could just get other people to call on God. How about us calling on God? I need God, brethren. I'm not all that. I need God to help me. And then, as I'm calling on Him, He will respond. And He will show. When I begin to call on God and say, God, help me. God, I need You. Almost instantaneously, God will bring up some things that I need to get right in my life. Could be my thought life. Could be the things I say. Could be the things I do. Could be the things I'm not doing that I should be doing. You ever had that happen? Come on, folks. You ever had that happen? We're Christians. We need God to constantly be working in our hearts and in our lives. I like the song, The Little Children. We teach it to the little children, but we need to start singing it again as adults. He's still working on me to make me just what I ought to be. I'm glad God's not through with me yet. I am an unfinished product. I still need that conforming unto the image of God's Son, and I'm glad God is still doing it. I need God to continue to work in and on my life. Now, here's the third way. Now, as I said, there's more ways. So, first of all, we seek by calling, by crying out to God. Did you cry out to God last week? Can you remember a desperate cry to God? God, if you don't get involved in this, it's just not going to turn out well. God, I need You to be a part of this that's going on. Or are You trying to, you know, shift things around and move some things and you know, kind of shake and move and get shake and bake, as they say, you know, get things going on in your life and line things up. Now, brethren, we need God. We need to call out to Him. We need to cry out to Him. We need to forsake some things. There's no one in here that could tell me in sincerity and honesty, I'm exactly where I need to be with God. I'm all of that. I'm all I need to be. God has not put His finger on something in my life. I'm not judging you. I'm judging me. But we need to be reminded that we're not going to get better by accident. We're not going to get more godly accidentally. We're going to be what God intends us to be. We're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by calling out to God, by forsaking. Notice it says in verse number 7, let the wicked forsake his way. You know, sometimes we're just so sure my way's right. No, his way's right, brother. I need my way to line up with his way. And then he said, not only that, he said in verse number 7, let the unrighteous man, and it's inferred here, forsake his thoughts. Now verse number 8 takes us to the third purpose, and it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We need to be seeking God's thoughts and God's ways. And that is part of calling unto him and saying, God, I want my ways and my thoughts to line up with yours. Now, oftentimes, verse number 8, and I've done it. It's taken out of context. And God will do something, and it leaves us puzzled. And God does do that sometimes, right? I mean, we're just puzzled at what God has done, or God works, and we say, well, you know, God works in mysterious ways. Well, you know what the Bible says. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and that's okay. But it is taken out of context. And the context in which that scripture is actually given is comparing God's ways with the ways that we just read about in verse number 7. If you'll notice in verse number 7, there are thoughts and there are ways mentioned, but they're the ways of the wicked and the unrighteous. They're the ways of those that are outside of God's plan, outside of God's will, outside of God's word. And he said, don't you find yourself there now. Don't you find yourself pursuing your own way, pursuing your own thoughts. Well, I think, well, wait a minute now, that could get dangerous. What's God say, right? And so if you'll notice in verse number 7, it might do us good to underline his way and then his thoughts and then come down to verse number 8, and he says, my thoughts, my ways. God said, this is what you need right here. You need to be seeking my way, my thoughts, right? So in the context, what God is saying is that our ways and thoughts are miles apart. As far as verse number 9 says, the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours. That's what he's saying. And so it's not a good thing to lean and to go your way or my way or think what I want to think. I need to get in touch with God. I need to seek God. I need to come to God in humility and saying, God, my way's not working out. It didn't for about 19 years. And then I finally realized I need Jesus as my Savior. And I got saved, praise God, by the grace of God. But sometimes the stubborn rebellion that's in me as a depraved human being, still with that depraved nature, that old Adamic nature, I still revert back to my thoughts and my ways. And God's just calling, seek me. Seek me. How am I going to do that? Seek my ways. What's that mean? Live like me. Do what I do. Find out what God does and then do it. That's seeking his ways. Amen. And seek my thoughts. Well, what's that mean? Find out what God's thoughts are. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely and just and pure. Philippians 4 tells us, and have those thoughts. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Right, brethren? And so if we're not careful, we get kind of comfortable and we'll think, well, you know, things are kind of going pretty good, smooth sailing, we're doing all right. Are we really? I don't know. I'll tell you this. If we're not seeking him, we're not doing as good as we think we are. If we're not forsaking some things regularly, we're not doing as well as we think we are. And so how do you see? Well, first of all, you call unto him. Second of all, you forsake. You forsake. And then if you'll notice here in the middle of verse number 7, it says, let him return unto the Lord. I believe that's part of the seeking, and it's return to those thoughts. You know, when I first got saved, brethren, I was all in. I would still like to consider myself all in. But, you know, I'm just coming up short. The longer I'm in this, the more I realize, my. I got a long way to go. I used to think I'm pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. Isn't it amazing? The closer you get to God, the more of a sinner you realize you are. It's kind of like the closer you get to the light, the more you can see the stain that's within you. And the closer I get to Jesus, the more I realize, God, I need your help. I don't even want to attempt this without you. Lord, I need you. And I cry out to God. I know you do too. Seek him. Call unto him. Forsake. And then return. It's not enough just to forsake. You've got to return. Right? Return. Return. Now, that's why we seek. Let me give you these and then I'll be done. Why? Why should I seek the Lord? I'm just going to name them to you. Well, I told you in verse number 8, we should seek the Lord because our ways and our thoughts are just not enough. They're insufficient. As high as we think they are and as much emphasis as we place on them, despite our upbringing, our education, our social or financial status, our ways are just not enough. As Christians, we have access to his thoughts and his ways. God help us to not settle for anything less. They're so much higher. You see, it'd be kind of difficult. Did you notice what he said in verse number 9? He said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Pastor David preaching yesterday, he talked about setting. I think he said this was his favorite verse, Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things above. You see, when I'm seeking God's ways, when I'm seeking God's thoughts, I'm setting my affection on things above because they're heavenly. But when I'm content with my thoughts and my ways, I'm living more in an earthly sphere and more of a carnal, fleshly way of life. And that just won't get it done. So it's going to benefit us to seek God's way, to seek God, to seek his thoughts, to seek him. Why? Well, because as we do, we're going to become like him. As we seek him, we will find what his ways are and his thoughts are. I can't do his ways or thoughts if I'm not aware of what they are, right? But as I do, then, well, according to, there's an inference here that, well, that I can receive them so I can live like God wants me to live. And that's going to require some forsaking of some things. Brethren, we're just sinful. We're pitiful. We need God. Say, wait a minute now, preacher. You act like I'm some kind of bad this. Well, you'll figure it out sooner or later if you haven't already. We are a needy people. And the moment we get to thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, we will quit seeking the Lord. One of the main reasons that folks no longer seek the Lord is they're okay with theirself. We need God because we are broken. And we need to seek him. So one of the reasons we need to seek him is so that we can continue to learn his ways and his thoughts, so we can continue to live like him and think like him. Amen? That's a great benefit, by the way. It's a wonderful thing. The second thing is because of the pardon that he offers. Look what he said in verse number 7. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Thank God for that. Not he might, or he'll see. He will have mercy on you. Get to him. Amen. Get to him. God is a God of mercy, brethren. Mercy means that God won't give you what you deserve. Amen. He won't give you that. He won't give you punishment. He won't give you the condemnation. He will bring you pardon and peace. Why? Hold your Bible here just for a moment and turn to Micah. Micah chapter 7. Would you do that? You say, where's that at? Well, it's on back there some. Does that help you any? Well, Jonah. Most folks know where Jonah is. Obadiah, Jonah, and then we have Micah. Micah chapter number 7. I'll give you a little time to find it. And if you don't know, don't do like me now. I told you about the first time, maybe the second time Sharon and I was in church after we got saved. The pastor got up and said, turn to 2 Timothy. I kid you not. About ready for the invitation before I ever found it. And finally a lady reached over and kind of helped me out. She turned to the table of contents and then run her finger and said, right there it is. I said, wow, that's good stuff. You can just turn to the front and find the page and turn to it. This Bible's good. So if you need to turn to the table of contents, we'll wait on you. No shame whatsoever. Micah chapter number 7. It'd be worth your turn if you'll turn there. Because I'm going to give you why we should seek the Lord. I told you what it was. The reason is why is because God has something good for us, brethren. He does. He's going to give that water. He's going to give that milk. He's going to give that wine of joy and exhilaration. He's going to reveal His ways, reveal His thoughts, that we could grow and we could mature and that we could be more like Him. And the more I'm like Him, the better I am. The best version of me I'll ever be is when I'm more like Jesus. He says here in Micah chapter 7, look at verse number 18. Micah 7, verse number 18. Would you look there with me as we wind this down? And he says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever. And here's why. Because he delighteth in mercy. Now, listen, God just doesn't give pardon and show mercy. He delights in it. He delights in that. And so don't let the flesh and the enemy, don't let some down in the mouth or someone who is inept in the scripture tell you, oh, well, now this and this. No, no, I'm telling you what God said this morning. God said, listen, do you have a need? God said, do you need to call on me? God said, you seek me. I have something for you. I have a better way. I have better thoughts. I want to pardon you. I want to cleanse you. I want to enable you. I want to encourage you. I want to empower you. Come. Come! I have some good things for you. But now you've got to come. Right? If you're satisfied where you are and you're satisfied in the lot you have in life, and if you're okay with your way and your thoughts and you're okay without receiving what God has for you, God will allow you to stay there. You will be empty. You will be lonely. You will not experience God's best for your life. But nonetheless, God will allow you to stay in that place. All the while, He's saying, seek me while I may be found. Call upon me while I am near. The window of opportunity may be closing. Come now, he said, while I'm calling. Come now, seek me. Seek me. God will pardon. Aren't you glad God delighteth in mercy? I'm glad that he does. Let's go back and close now. And so, number one, we should seek him because his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours, and he has a better way for us. Number two, because of pardon. And not only does he delight in it, but the Bible says in the latter part of verse number 7 of Isaiah 55 that he will abundantly pardon. That means just overflowing. Just overflowing. More and enough. Right? Amen. And then finally, because of the nearness of God in that moment. You know, I mentioned that one day the door of grace will close. I don't pretend to know when that will be. I don't know when the window of opportunities that God gives us in life. I have no way of knowing. I have read on to chapter 58 of Isaiah, and I do read where people draw near to God with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. And where people just think, well, I can say things and it'll make a difference in my life, but it doesn't. Your heart has to be in it. Because when you just say, well, you know what, I want to live a better life, but you're not willing to forsake some things and you're not willing to turn some from things, your life will not change. As a matter of fact, you'll be doing yourself great harm. I want you to listen very carefully. You've been very attentive, and I appreciate that. And I'm going to ask you to stand just for a moment. I want you to look right up here because I want to give you a warning this morning. Now, I've put out a call from God to you, and I have told you there's benefits in seeking the Lord. And there is great benefit in seeking the Lord. And there is benefit in calling upon Him. And God has much to offer, and God has much that He wants to do in all of your lives. There may be somebody here that's not saved, and God will start right there. He will convict you of your sin, and maybe this morning He did, and you realize, I need to be saved. I need Jesus as my Savior. He's calling unto you. You respond and seek the Lord. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Why, preacher? Well, this is for the lost and the saved now. When God calls, when God extends the invitation and we disregard it, our hearts grow harder. Now, please listen to me. And we get more calloused and more cold. And before long, the voice of God may seem muffled in our lives because we have rejected it so many times. It is a terrible thing to reject the voice of Almighty God. If your heart is still tender, if you're still in tune to the voice of God as He calls and you hear His call clearly, clearly, and He is saying, come, seek me, call upon me. Don't disregard God's voice. God in His mercy is extending an invitation to you, to me. And He's saying, come. Now, I don't know why He's calling you. I don't know why He's telling you to seek Him. It could be you need to be saved. I don't know. It could be you need to get right. I don't know. It could be you need to get right with your brother. I don't mean your physical brother. Maybe that too. Maybe somebody, another Christian that you have all in your heart. Could be the jealousy. Could be bitterness. You could have all in your heart. You could have rebellion. And we could go on and on. I don't know the hearts of people. You know, you could be hurt. And somehow the enemy has twisted your hurt and made you believe that God did that. And God did not. And God is saying, seek me. I want to be that healing balm of Gilead. I want to put a salve on the sore in your heart. And I want to bring you healing in your soul. Don't turn His voice away. Please, please. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Would you bow your head with me?